our family pastor, Annie Lahan. She's going to take over the service today.
Can you guys hear me?
With the Lord.
Am I on?
You are on.
It's so weird because I can't actually hear it in the house whenever you wear this.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm super excited to have the opportunity this morning to not just speak to the adults, but to all of you awesome kiddos. If you are in Earthshakers, will you raise your hand? Will you wave at me? Hi, guys. If you're in Kingdom Kids, will you wave your hand at me? So this morning, our kiddos know something that maybe the grown-ups don't know. Do you guys know your class creed? Does anybody know it off the top of their head? Could you guys say it with me? Yes. Ready? Recite. I am a chosen child of God. I was made by God and for God. God loves me with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. I will be respectful, courteous, and kind to others so I can advance the kingdom of God one heart at a time. Good job. Good job. Every week in our classrooms, our kids practice their identity. And I can tell you that there's been many times that I, as a grown-up, have said that creed to myself to remember the gospel. So good job, guys. Way to practice your identity. So this morning, we are honored to have all ages in here together. And I wanted to talk about something that we don't really talk about very often. Did you guys know that Jesus had to grow up? Did you know that Jesus came as a baby and then he wasn't just a baby and then a grown up all of a sudden? Did you know that Jesus was 5 at one point? Yeah. Is anybody 5? Raise your hand if you're 5. Did you know that Jesus was 10? Raise your hand if you're 10. Did you know that Jesus was 12? Raise your hand if you're 12. Okay, so today we're going to look at in the Bible where it says about when Jesus was 12. Okay, so let's look at this, guys. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and 42 that we're going to look at first. It says, now his parents, this is Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. When Jesus became 12, they went up according to the custom of the feast. Who loves their birthday? Anybody love their birthday? I love my birthday. Okay, so when Jesus became 12, he had a birthday. He became 12. That word became, I want to tell you guys a secret. Whenever you look in the Bible, sometimes words mean a whole lot more. They're like secret treasures. This word became actually means whenever God's actions came from eternity into now. It's kind of like a super secret surprise that was in heaven that came to earth and that started happening around the time that Jesus turned 12. Okay? So in verse 43, it says, as they were returning after the full number of days, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware. Him being a boy means that he was a servant of God. It means that he was the Messiah, and it means that he was developing into his eternal destiny. I was asking my nieces and nephews this week about what is an eternal destiny. Does anybody have any ideas what an eternal destiny is? Aubrey? So she said, when you were born to do something, for those of you on live stream, that was a good job. That's right. Jesus was born to do something, wasn't he? Right? But he had to learn and he had to grow up just like all of us do. Jesus had to do that too. Do you know Jesus had parents that he had to listen to? And hear their voice and obey them? Do you know that? Jesus grew up just like all of us. So did you know that he can relate to you when you're 5 and 10 and 12 and all those numbers? Am I doing that? Okay, sorry guys. So Jesus had to grow up just like we do. Okay, so they had supposed Jesus to be in their caravan whenever they were done at this Passover feast, and they went a day's journey, and they began to look for him among their relatives and their acquaintances. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening, which means lending his ear to them, and asking them questions. So they were used to Jesus hanging out with his family. That's what it means for them to be accustomed to. They didn't even look for him for a day because he was always hanging out with his buddies. Jesus was always hanging out with his family and his friends. It was normal. Did you know Jesus had a family and friends like we do? Yeah, so much so that his parents didn't even think twice. They didn't see him in a whole day. That's crazy. Is that not crazy? It's a little crazy. So whenever they found him inside of the temple. The temple's kind of like where we're at here today, right? Like we're at church, but Jesus was a Jew. So he grew up and they went to synagogue and they had these feasts and all this cool stuff that they do traditionally. And he was there talking to the teachers. Does anybody have any teachers? And they teach you stuff, right? These were people that taught about God. Right? So they were teaching about God. But you know what's crazy? When Jesus was 12, he was also kind of teaching them already. Verse 47 and 48, it says, "And all who heard him were amazed." That means for them to be removed from a fixed standing position, to be overwhelmed or mad. It still kind of happens today. At his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father," speaking of Joseph, "and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" Speaking of his heavenly father. Do you guys notice we're talking about two different people whenever he's talking about dad, right? Yeah. Mom said, "Why'd you do this to me and your dad?" But Jesus was actually God's son. Remember? The Holy Spirit put Jesus in Mary's belly. And Joseph was kind of like Jesus' stepdad. He got to raise him and he took care of him and he met his needs here on earth. But Jesus learned who he was from his heavenly father. And he shows all of us too, who we are, what our eternal destiny is, whenever we connect with our heavenly father. So our mom and our dad or our guardians, the people who take care of us, may meet our needs and they may teach us right from wrong. But ultimately, when we hear and obey their voice, they're teaching us how to hear our heavenly father's voice. Like we learn to talk to God and learn who we are so we can enter into our eternal destiny, which is to be God's kids, right? So, but they did not understand the statement that Jesus had made to them. So Jesus said, "I had to be in my father's house." And they're like, "Your father's right here. We were in a caravan. We were going home. What are you talking about?" And so this word here, the statement that Jesus made, is actually rhema. It's the living voice which imparts faith to the believer. We still have the rhema word that breathes life into us today. Like whenever God speaks a personal word, sorry, sister. whenever God speaks a personal word to us, do you want me to take it off? Okay. I can use the handheld. Sorry, guys. Okay. All right. We're going to switch to handheld.
Can you hear me? Oh, I can hear myself now. Okay. Awesome. Thanks for your grace. So the rhema word is whenever God speaks, like he speaks even through us, right? So Miss Gretchen had a prophetic word this morning and she was sharing God's living voice with us, which makes our hearts feel God's presence, right? So Jesus was already speaking God's words to them, but they didn't really understand yet because they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do right now. So he went down with them and he went back home to Nazareth. He continued in subjection to obey under God's arrangement, submitting to the Lord's plan to his parents. Like Jesus went home with his mom and dad. He wasn't being rebellious. He went home with his mom and dad. He learned to hear their voice and obey them. And his mama treasured in her heart all the things that she saw in this moment. So whenever Jesus had said these things, Mary remembered the word that angel said to her, like, your son is the Savior. Your son is the Messiah. And she saw him stepping into his destiny. But she actually treasured those things inside of her heart to secure it for a safe delivery. So these things in parentheses are because I used the Bible Hub app and I ate these words. That's how I'm getting this information, if you guys are wondering. And the last verse before I invite my special guests up this morning is verse 52. And it's where it says, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Him increasing means like he cut the way, like he made the way for Waylon Cannon to be able to be 12 and to be able to be 12 God's way. Do you guys know we don't have to dread our kids becoming teenagers? Because whenever Jesus became a teenager, he started preaching. He didn't go crazy. Like whenever he became 12, his appetites and his hunger was for God's presence. Let's have faith for that, yo. Like it is exciting. It is good news. And he made the way to be 5 and to be 10. Like Jesus was all of these ages and he made the way for the Holy Spirit to live in us, but also live in children. Did anybody cry watching the kids serve communion? Because I was losing it. I was losing it because the kingdom belongs to them. So we see here, Jesus had to go through the process of aging. He grew in grace. He actually grew in grace in both his relationship with God and with man. It's awesome. So this morning, I want to invite some special guests up to talk to them because Jesus belongs to every generation, right? And I have seen so much beauty and growth in Miss Maya Whitlock. Will you guys give them a round of applause? I'm going to invite up Christy and Aaron and Maya. If you guys would come right up here. Good morning. Oh, thank you. Fantastic. Gavin, your troubleshooting skills on the fly are impressive. Good morning, friends. Good morning. Hi, sis. This is for you guys to share. Hi. Maya, do you want to talk first? You want mama to talk first? You want mommy to talk first? Good morning, sister. I saw on Aaron's phone that you guys had some fun last night.
We did have some fun. We did an advent calendar with the girls this year with different activities. And yesterday our activity was to act out the nativity scene. So we dressed up a little bit in head towels, a little bit in bathrobes, a little bit in blankets and pillowcases.
The shepherd's staff was probably my favorite.
The shepherd's staff was it was last minute. I couldn't think
like
of anything.
Fan
it was
duster?
A Swiffer, but it was one of those Swiffers that was long and the top bent. So we just like bent it over like a hook.
I will have pictures later. Just let me know. When my daughter come walking in with her, it was a pillowcase with a little wrap around the head and a denim shirt as well that was a robe. And then my wife was in leopard print robe with a towel on her head. And I'm telling you guys, it is beautiful.
It was beautiful. I love it because there is no excuse, right? Like we can share the story of Jesus no matter what budget we have, right?
That's right. That's so
great. I love that you guys play with your kids. It might have been last night. You guys this week is Run Together. Anybody else experiencing that? But I was on the phone with Papa Paul, who we'll get to talk to, and he said, I want to make sure that we're not putting any families on a pedestal here because we're going to get to hear from the generations of the Whitlock family today. And, man, I love this about you guys because you're real people. Like, we don't want you to think this morning, like, oh, we're not like them or anything like that. Like, we're just here to share the fact that the gospel belongs to the generations, and we're not comparing anybody. So I wanted to lay that foundation. I forgot. So, Maya, you had a birthday recently. How old are you?
7.
Can you say it into that special microphone right there for
7.
You?
7.
You're 7? Yes. And for your 7th birthday, both me and your, it wasn't your Mimi, it was your grandma got you a Bible journal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both of us did? Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell me about your Bible journal? What do you do with that?
Usually Mama tells me stories about the Bible, and sometimes I draw pictures of the story.
Yeah? Super cool. Super cool. Because even before we can write out a lot, sometimes drawing helps us remember things. And you drew something special, and you had shown it to me. I was so excited whenever I saw it at church. Would you tell us about it?
They'll be able to see it up there.
Yeah.
Okay. They can see it up there already.
Yeah, it's on the big screen.
I drew a picture of baby Jesus after we watched the movie The Star.
Hmm. What happens? What happened that there's Jesus here? Can you tell me about your picture? Like who that is? And you were telling me about it earlier.
It's Jesus, and he's laying in the manger.
Mm-hmm. What is that word on the bottom for?
It's love.
What made you put love on there with baby Jesus?
Because baby Jesus loved us,
mm-hmm.
and I put his name on the side of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I love it. Do you want to share the story of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, and an angel came to Mary, and it said, "Do not be afraid. You have found great favor with God. You shall have the Son of God, and you shall name him Jesus."
And then what?
And Mary went to tell Joseph, and they traveled a long, long way to Bethlehem.
We went through every bedroom because we traveled a long way.
And once they got to Bethlehem, they tried to get to a hotel, and every room was filled. So when they got to one hotel, a guy offered them a stable. And they used the animal's feeding trough for a cradle, and they used straw for bedding. And then baby Jesus got born.
Awesome. What did it mean to you, Maya?
It meant to me that when we're scared, we have to lean closer to Jesus so we can feel safer. Once I lean closer to him, I feel safer.
That's beautiful. Are you crying? I forgot the Kleenex. Mm. I did. I'm so sorry.
I'm okay. I'm not
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Mama Christy, what did it mean for you?
So what does Jesus coming mean to me? So, I grew up in church. I've been in church my whole life. So I thought I knew everything that Jesus meant pretty well, right? I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew the Gospels. I thought I knew all the stories, and I would read them. And, like, I've heard that. You know, I heard that. I know it. But I will say in the last probably year or two, Jesus has been redefined for me. And there's so much more in those stories that I've heard all my life that I have been uncovering one truth at a time. And that truth brings peace. And so, Jesus being born, right? He came and he was born and he died on the cross for our salvation. And that's the part that I've taken with me my whole life. I grew up, you know, knowing that he died on the cross for my salvation and I was saved. But in the last couple of years, I've learned the next part of that is that he came and died on the cross for our intimate relationship with him. And as I've taken time to sit with him and to sit with the Father, man, he is, like, he's changed my heart. I will say I came from a good family. I was taught to do right. I grew up in the church. I looked to the church, you know, so I feel like I had pretty good behavior, you know, mm-hmm. you know, but what I've, no comments, pretty good behavior. But what I learned in sitting with Jesus is there was a lot of yuck in my heart. And as I spent time sitting with him and learning that he was here for me to have a personal relationship with him and spend time with him, he's been changing that heart. So now where I used to try to be good because I knew it was the right thing to do, but I might be kind to somebody, but then I would go to Aaron and say, like, oh, let me tell you all about this person who's irritating me. So like in sitting with him, he has changed that. Like I don't want to be kind because it's the right thing to be kind. Like he's changing my heart to truly love people.
Are you telling me you're like a disciple of Jesus?
I'm saying I'm trying to be. It's a process, right?
It's
a process. I started a couple years ago and I'm still journeying through it. But now, now instead of trying to live out the character of Christ, he's shown me his character in sitting with him. So I think to bring it back to him coming for us, what I am most thankful for this year is not only that he came to be our savior, but he came to show me personal relationship, which is continuing to change my heart and my desires for him.
That's beautiful. And it's not hard, right?
It's not hard. That's the thing. And in fact, so much so to like situations that I used to struggle in, and I used to like the Holy Spirit would convict me, right? Because Holy Spirit's always been there, and he would convict me, and I'd be like, I gotta try to do right. I gotta try to stop talking about this person. I gotta try to stop gossiping. I gotta try to do this. Well, now there's like no trying in it. If I find myself in that situation, I'm uncomfortable with it, and I'm uncomfortable with it because it's not the character of Christ, and he's changing my heart. So. There was just a lot of yuck in there. And as we were singing that song, like about him leading out of the Egypt, I think the Egypt for me was all that yuck that was in my heart. And he's like, he parted the seas and he led me through the deep of changing just the way I feel about people and trying to emulate his character.
That's beautiful, sis. Thank you. Thank you. Was there anything you wanted to share other than that? Anything burning on your heart?
The one other thought I had is when I was digging into John, and so, you know, I think I've always like kind of focused on the story of Jesus coming in Matthew and in Luke where it gives a lot of the details, but the beginning of John actually talks about Jesus coming. You know, it talks about the word always was, the word was here. And then I clued in this week on that scripture, or last week maybe, on that scripture, the word becomes flesh. And so I just want to share what I learned through that, just that one. The word became flesh. When I think of flesh, like I typically didn't think like of goodness of, you know, I thought like flesh is not good. Flesh is when I'm acting bad, or flesh is when all that yuck is surfacing. But then I thought, well, if Jesus became flesh and he lived a sin-free life, then what is flesh really? And in digging that flesh is our human nature. And what I learned in that is our human nature only becomes bad when we are making decisions out of self, separated from God. So Jesus coming, he demonstrated for us how to live in our human nature connected to a God that, as our source. Yes.
That's so good. And whenever I was diving into those scriptures, that's what he showed me. Like, there's not a ton in the Bible about Jesus being five, right? But there is enough whenever we actually dive into these scriptures, we can learn that Jesus knows how to be every age and that he can help us and he can help your kids. Like, we can teach them to ask Jesus, how do I do this? Maya said it, fantastic. I lean into him and he leans into me. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. Did you have something else you'd like to say, Maya?
I wanted to read my sentence, the first sentence I wrote.
Fantastic.
It says, God makes me fast so I can help people.
God makes me fast so I can help people. That's awesome. Great job, sister. Brother Aaron, would you like to share anything? Is there anybody in this room that has not been positively affected by Aaron Whitlock? He single-handedly, this family... Well, not single-handedly. Clay Allison also did like half of our yard. So we had a 100-year-old oak that fell in our front yard. And we came home and it was just kind of taken care of. And it was huge, huge. And then there were these pickles on the porch. And I was like, this is either Gavin and Kenda or Aaron and Christy, because they're the only ones that go to Branson and get these pickles. And with his three little girls, played lumberjack and cleaned up our yard. So I love they're the gospel with hands on, you know, like the practical gospel. And there's so much that you've done for us. So we're super thankful for your friendship and your brotherhood. So what did Jesus coming mean to you, bro?
People are thinking right now, Aaron doesn't need a mic. He's
only for
I
live
don't need
stream.
Everybody to laugh at that.
Only for live stream.
All right. You know, it's been a lot. Again, as my wife said, she grew up in church. I grew up in church. We know Christ as the center of our universe. We're who we are because of him. I would probably say what Jesus means to me is what Maya wrote in her book, right underneath is love. And I really, probably the last couple of days, Change Engine is what kept in my heart was Jesus became the change engine that drove us with love. And so I'd probably venture to say what he means to me has changed. Maturity has changed me. Some people say I'm still growing up. Some people say I haven't even started. And I can't disagree with that. If you be around me on a regular basis, you're going to say I either annoy you or you, I just grow on you. That's normally what happens is I just tend to grow on you. But
it's because you're faithful and persistent.
And I come out with love.
Uh-huh.
I come out with love and
yes.
love.
Henry love.
Love. Love. but I don't know the love aspect of it, man. Whenever that change engine happens, you just emulate Christ. And Christ comes through you no matter what. And it's a lifestyle. It's not one of those things, oh, I'm going to be one way this week, and I'm going to be another way next week. It's one of those consistent aspects of it. And one of the things God's been showing me lately is, has anybody in this room been affected by something, a situation or a tragedy that's happened? We've all been there and done that. And what God showed me now is like, because he's in me, I affect that instead of letting the situation affect me. And so that leading into it, because we tend to say, well, I'm this way because of my family. I'm this way because my dad didn't show me love. And now I can't show love to my daughter. And I can't show love to my wife. And that's probably one of the things that has changed in me throughout the course of time, that I've become to a realization that the God in me changes the situation I'm in rather than allowing the situation change me. And so that's the change engine.
The change engine?
It is.
So, like, do I hear you saying, like, it changed your motivation? Is that what you mean by the engine? What is the engine?
It's not motivation. It's just lifestyle.
Okay.
I mean, because motivation can be skewed by the enemy. And that was one of the things for me is I don't tend to be behind the curtain. In case anybody didn't know that, I tend to be out front. I tend to be that boisterous, loud, look at me kind of a deal. And I wanted that. That can be a motivation that the enemy can turn. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, where's the light from the inside rather than just the annoying voice? Where's the love behind the change engine? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is that word about love? Like you're an annoying symbol? Like if you don't have love? Yeah, if you do all these good things but you don't have love, you're a clanging symbol?
Yep.
Yeah, it's scripture. Good job.
So I'm no longer a clanging symbol.
Woohoo! Now you're a godly annoying symbol.
Yeah. Yes.
Love you, brother. Yeah, he's perfect. He's perfect. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing the Jesus in your family. And I love seeing you grow, Miss Maya, and you share Jesus. We were at a birthday party, and she was telling me the gospel hanging out of her dad's truck window. And I was like, oh, wow, this is just gushing out of you with life in her eyes. And I was super excited. And the way that things have unfolded for her to be able to share a little bit. I'm pretty sure she's hardcore evangelist. Yeah. Yeah. Good job, Miss Maya. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
All right. You guys want to go have a seat and we'll welcome up Paul and Jan Whitlock. If you guys would come join us. Will you hand me the mic and I'll hand it to them? Thank you so much. Paul and Jan are Aaron's parents. I'm sure a lot of you guys in this room probably already know them, Raise your hand if you know Paul and Jan. Yeah. Aw, Dad was sweet. He's a good boy. Welcome, Mama Jan. This is for you guys to share. I'm sure you'll fight over it.
Yeah, right.
She handed it straight to him. All right. Well, some of what I want to talk about is the legacy of Jesus. And we had talked about this on the phone, Paul, that it's not about making your children in your image as their father, but that the Father, the Heavenly Father, is making your children. And we just kind of steward them, right? Like, and we're his kids too. So can you tell me a little bit about raising kids and the messiness of it and sharing Jesus with them and repenting and all the things, like whatever you want to?
It's really simple.
All right. Break it down for us. There's kids
in here. I have two sons. Aaron is the youngest. Our oldest son is Scott and his family. So you only kind of see half of our family. And no girls. I came from a family of six boys. So I knew boys. And had it not been for the grace of a mother, I would have neutered them at 13. So it is the grace of God that... It is the grace of God and the love of a mother that they...
I'm sure they're very thankful for you, Jan. Oh, my gosh.
No, she truly... she was the grace, and I was more of the justice.
Yeah.
And boys, I've discovered, are far easier to raise than girls. We have four granddaughters and three grandsons. But the youngest three, for some reason or another, I don't know how they learn to squeal as high as they do. But girls are like roller coasters. They're up and down and up and down and up and down. They're loving one minute and... like squealing cats the
test
next.
Test you the next.
And so it is just, I guess if I have anything to say, just bundled up in grace, mercy, forgiveness as parents. And their mom exemplified that for them. Made everything special, birthday parties, special events, athletic events, anything and everything. All the bad things we have a tendency to overlook. Once you get in your 70s, you look back at the good things. And we're not the only family here that have great, wonderful kids and a fine family. I look back at this church is what... I mean, this church exemplifies those things, grace and mercy and love, and the pastor that continues to teach this church. But you take a look at families like Ron and Cindy Garman that we've known for a long time, Clay and Barbara Allison that we've known for a long time.
They're like your spiritual kids, right?
Well, Ron's as old as I am or older. So
not Ron. Clay and Barbara Allison.
John and Sue Mangum, who have two wonderful kids. Some of them are watching online. Because of COVID, many are watching online. Jan and I watch online. It took a lot to get her out of her pajamas and a cup of coffee.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
To be here on Sunday morning.
Thank you.
And to have our mask with us.
Yes, but we're very thankful you're here.
But Jerry and Mary Baldwin, families that you, Tom and Cheryl Rowan.
I feel like we're in Hebrews right now and we're going through like, you know what I'm saying? Like what do we call it? The history, the faith Hall of Fame? Yeah, is that what
it is?
It
is the Faith Hall of Fame.
The Faith Hall of Fame of Grace Church.
Well, Ryan and Gretchen. I mean, you've got families here that are pastors that are here. that are families that don't necessarily always get recognized, but like Aaron says, that are behind the scenes, that work hard, that Jan and I pastored with, grew up with, that's what makes pastors successful. Not necessarily them.
Right, you're surrounded by.
But it is the people that they surround themselves with, mm-hmm. and that's what makes it special. I could go on and on and on of families that are in here, some single parent families that do a great work. Kay and Rod, Shauna and Josh, you know, those are great families that have they had some hiccups? Yeah, we all do. But as time goes along, like Aaron says, and Christy and the perspectives they have. See, we got Christy. She married into the family, and there were some rough edges on it. We had to really work
on
to straighten.
Christy?
Yeah, we had to really work to straighten
Not
out
true.
On Christy.
Not true.
Still working.
But it's a work in progress. But you look at Christy, and you only see half of this. You need to see Tom and Carol Barnes. You need to see
Tom and Carol, her mom and her dada.
And Carol's parents.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about legacy.
That's
I feel like
what,
you're a proud daddy who's like opened your wallet and you're like, have you seen this picture of this kid and this picture of this kid and this picture of this kid? And the humility in you, because I asked Paul about him, but all he wants to talk about is those that he loves. Like, is that not a father? Is that not a father's heart? Like, you're not going to sit up here and boast about yourself, Paul, because you're a genuine son. I feel like I almost have to boast about you because I know you're not gonna.
Thank you.
I'm gonna do it. So in their home, we've gotten to go to like birthday parties and stuff as we've grown in our friendship with the family, and it's real. It's not like the Sunday morning Christianity where, you know, you go and you dress up on church on Sunday. Like, I hear Mama Jan say, are you reading your Jesus calling? Because I really think that if you would wake up and spend this time with the Father, like, it's going to help you feel better. Like, it's going to help you process this while we're, doing dishes and just real life. Like, and it's not that we're perfect people, but it's really who you are. And when I was on the phone with you, Mama Jan, I was like, can we talk about, we were talking about what we were going to talk about. And I said, can you just talk about like Jesus and your life with your kids? And she said, it's just my life. It's not a checklist. It's just who you are. And I mean, is that not what we're called to? Like, you guys just are God's kids who have grown up to raise God's kids. And we're super thankful that we get to have your headship and your love and that you pour in to your kids and myself and my husband. I mean, I know, Paul, you hugged my husband one time and you just had him in tears just because you could feel the Father's love inside of you. And we need that from every generation. Like, we can't undersell the small acts of obedience and that it just is who you are. Like, we're so thankful to have you in the family.
When Jan and I were younger, more so me than her, I think we would just get so busy. Life just, Christmas time gets so busy. We just get in a hurry and we miss the real reason for the season. And so I think if we live our life more with a compass and not a clock, we find more meaning. And so for Jan and our family, she helps us stay focused on the compass and not necessarily the clock. You know what I'm saying?
That's profound.
Yeah.
Mic drop. I mean, don't really drop it, but you could, because that was profound. That was beautiful. That's beautiful. How do you do that, Mama Jan?
You just do it.
But how, Mama Jan? Is it because you just abide with the Father and he just pulls you back in?
Her mother. I can tell you.
If you'll have to tell him in the microphone so live stream can hear
well,
you.
Well, she's going to have to tell it because she modeled after her mother. We would, well, you won't say, but we would have a bus ministry when we were younger. And every Saturday from 8 o'clock to noon, we would go out and visit kids. And then on Sunday, we would get up 7:30, get the buses ready, and go pick up children. And then we would come home. She would fix dinner every Sunday and have a home-cooked meal. We were probably one of the only staff that never went out to go eat, and we would always eat at home. And then 6:30 Sunday night, we would have another service. And so Pastor Dwight and Mary were our mentors. And so we grew up following their example. My parents weren't Christians. Jan's mother was a very loving, Christ-centered woman. Her dad, not so much, but he gave his life to the Lord later on in life. But Jan followed in the footsteps of her mom. She has an older sister, and if you put the two of them together, my brother-in-law and I talk a lot alike. They are exactly alike. They just, they cook, they clean. If you had a motivational gift to tag her with, it is servanthood. She serves not just at home, at funerals.
That's true. I've seen this happen. Your whole crew. Funeral. Has anybody had a funeral at our church that's in here? Like, is it not amazing the spread that they lay out? I mean, and the love. Like, you guys in that kitchen together, and nobody really knows who does it behind the scenes, but the love that they just lay out and pour out in the hidden places, it's beautiful.
She took chicken soup to Joe and Vivian Reisner, who do not attend here, but part of Life Christian Academy, who had a big part in our lives. And Jan served in the school for years. I mean, just literally years, and contacting family after family after family, and knows a number of people from the school. So I believe it is that gifting in her that comes out. See, we both Christie's parents and Allison, our other daughter-in-law, I call her my older daughter-in-law, and they have parents that have acreages, and they could have moved there, but they chose to come and live next to us, and it really is very good to have the grandbabies
close by. Yeah, you guys are all like on a little plantation kind of style thing you got going on out there. Yeah, a little compound, a little Whitlock compound. Mm-hmm.
It's just a blessing. It is just a blessing from God, and we are just stewards. It's, you know, I tell people, they say, well, how much land do you have, and what do you do this and that? And I said, no. I said, none of this is mine. None of this is ours. I said, we're just stewards of what God has blessed us with. And from the time I was 19, many people don't realize and know that I was a combat infantryman in Vietnam. But this is the gospel truth. You can write this down, take it home, anything you leave with today. And I tell people this all the time. If it was not for the grace of God, I wouldn't, one, be here today. But if it wasn't for the grace of God and a good wife, I used to tell men in my Bible study all the time, I would be dead or in prison. And that is the truth. And so as we have connected with many families here that were at Life and others that we know throughout God bringing people across your path, you just pick up and love, like Clay and Barbara. We love Barbara a little more than Clay, but we...
Clay said that's all right.
But there are... there are a lot of young couples, Vance and Sarah, you know, just many other couples, Josh Kirkus, just different ones that God has brought across our life that Jan has just accepted. Now, we have been married long enough that we have a signal. When I talk too much, she kind of reaches over and flicks me. And she flicks me on the leg like this.
That's a good woman.
It's, oh yeah, she's
your helpmate.
She is.
And then you mutually submit to each other?
And well, the thing is, I can't get her to talk in the microphone.
That's so great. That's so great. Do you have anything you want to share before we wrap up, Mama Jan? Mm-hmm. Nothing?
No. Other than I just love the Lord so much, and he has blessed us and our family. He's just our life. And I thank God for my heritage that I've had. So,
and we thank God that you're a part of our heritage. Yeah.
Look, you have like Dave and Patty Phillips on here.
Yeah, we know that we have more. It's not just y'all.
There are.
Yeah. If you would like a directory of every couple that is amazing, if you need spiritual family, talk to Paul. That is true. You guys have the gift of connection. You do. And Aaron is very much wired this way as well. Like connecting the body of Christ. You guys are like a ligament.
Aaron is wired more like his mother.
Has anybody ever gone to the stakeout, the men's stakeout? Yeah, even the young boys get to come too, which I love. It's generational. But that's out on their land. And they just give because it's who you are. And we're thankful for you. Thank you for your willingness to come and share, and for flicking him. That's so nice of you to love him. Thank you so much, Paul. It was wonderful to hear your heart.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. All right. Well, kiddos, did anybody take any notes or color on their coloring sheets? Yes. Whenever you guys go out, we have a special volunteer wearing a Santa hat, Mr. Enzo Cannon, who gave you those coloring sheets, and he's going to hook you up with a candy cane if you show him your coloring sheet. If you have misplaced your coloring sheet, there is grace in this church, so I'm sure you could just smile at him and he'll still give you one. Quickly, I just want to let you guys know, next week we're going to have our Kids of Grace classrooms back open. We're going to go back into our series of activating partnership, and we've got a super special announcement that's going to happen at that time. Thank you, band, for coming without me remembering to ask you to come. You're awesome. Thank you guys so much for your attention and for your time and for bringing your kiddos in here so that we could worship and learn together and honor family. So if you guys would stand with me, and we are going to pray and close. Father, I am thankful that you are our dad. No matter who our earthly dad is, no matter what our family history is, that you did everything so that we could have you as our father. Thank you for sharing your son, for sowing the seed of your son so that you could reap a harvest of sons and daughters, and that we get to be your sons and daughters. Father, show us time and time again how the kingdom of God belongs to every single age, to every single person, God, and that you will show us what it means for us to grow up as your kids, and that we would too connect people to you. Father, I ask that you would bless our holidays and that you would give us your eyes and your mindset for our families, that we would pour out our hearts and our minds and our lives and everything that we own. Father, just as Papa Paul said, that we would not be running on a clock, but we would be running by your compass, that we would abide with you and that we would lead people to you, not our schedule, not our preference, but to you, God, because you are the reason, not just for this season, but you are the reason for life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Don't forget your candy canes.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.